You seek the key, but first you must learn the ways of precision, craft, and performance with Acura's all-electric ZDX. With a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system, up to a 313-mile range, and A-Type S variant with an estimated 500 horsepower, their ZDX is the most powerful SUV yet. Unlock the energy when you visit Acura.com to order yours today. Hello and welcome to the Two Robbies podcast, your destination for in-depth discussion and analysis of every Premier League match week, the Champions League and the Europa League as well. I'm Robbie Musto and he's Robbie Earle. Here are today's topics. That heroic header from Alisson to keep Liverpool's top four hopes alive. Leicester City winning their first FA Cup in club history. A preview of Tuesday's pivotal match between Chelsea and the Foxes. And have Man City found their next star striker in their goal fest with Newcastle? That's what we've got coming up in today's episode.
With Spring Black Friday deals at the Home Depot, you can give your lawn or garden beds a pop of color and protection. Right now, get a special buy on Scott's Earth Grow Mulch, 5 bags for just $10. Help your soil retain moisture longer with color that lasts up to 12 months. Shop Spring Black Friday deals for a special buy on Scott's Earth Grow Mulch, 5 bags for just $10 at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. Color selection varies by store. Limit 60 bags per customer while supplies last.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Okay, Robbie Earle, we've seen a lot of football, my friend. We've played a lot of games, we've watched a lot of games, but there's certain moments in matches where I think kind of remember them for a long period of time, and this is one of them. West Brom 1, Liverpool 2, a winning goal from Alisson, the goalkeeper, in a game that Liverpool had to really win to keep their hopes of top four qualification for the Champions League alive. It didn't look like, Rob, that it was going to happen. Conceded a goal again, pretty poor defensively. But they then find a way back, Mo Salah with another goal for him, and then that amazing moment late in the match. Let's just get to that point, Rob, and what you felt about watching that, I guess, 2 minutes of live action that was pretty remarkable.
I think the first thing to say, mate, is we witnessed history today in the Premier League. It's the first headed goal by a goalkeeper in the history of the Premier League, and listen, it's going to be one of those things that in 20, 30 years' time, they'll be playing. Like, we see the Aguero shirt for Man City and the Steven Gerrard slip that cost Liverpool. It's going to be one of those iconic moments. And sort of moving to the enormity of the moment and the header and the goal is that it does set up the opportunity for Liverpool to still have a good chance now of making Champions League football. And that's what it was all about. And that's why when he came up, I remember, I'm sure the story's out there now, but we were sitting in the broadcast, and as he's running up towards the halfway line, I'm going, oh, another goalkeeper running up. Waste of time. They never get onto it. And by this time, he'd reached the edge of the box. And then we saw it play out in front of our eyes, mate, and we saw the late run from Alisson that I think distracted the West Brom defenders in so much as they didn't know who to pick him up or what to do. We saw the ball coming in his direction. Then it was like one of those freeze frame moments. The ball hit his head. It kind of was veering towards a goal. And I'm thinking, it isn't, is it? It couldn't be, could it? And then you see it land in the back of the net. And then it's just like, well, it's pandemonium in the studio, it's craziness all over the pitch. And I just think, mate, we sometimes will take for granted some of the things we're very fortunate to witness. This is one of them.
And it rolls on nicely because Alisson is my underappreciated performer of the weekend. I guess, my friend, basically based on his heading ability. Underappreciated heading ability of Alisson. And, you know, the just follow on, like the jump, the technique, the kind of snap his neck into the head of the direction right into that corner was pretty amazing. And then, you know, it was a special moment, not just because of the goal and because of the celebrations, but then the emotions we saw from him, Rob, because he lost his father tragically in a drowning accident back in Brazil in February, I think it was. And he's been very low on the on media side of things. But you could see the emotion pour out of him, pointing towards the sky. His teammates were all over him. A really special moment. And I think, you know, we do try and pick out a player from each weekend. And also, I'm not sure how many viewers or our listeners would have seen the interview, but a really powerful, nice interview afterwards where sometimes football fans don't always get a window into the character of some of their heroes in their squads and in their teams. And it was a really nice moment, I think, for everybody, us included. You don't get to hear from that much, but of course his English is pretty blimmin' impeccable, really. And he so well told the story of his emotions. He thanked everybody, Rob, that got behind him in these difficult moments, losing his father. So all of that kind of last minute of the match, the scenes, the hugs from the manager and the coaches, and I don't think I've seen. I think it was Mo Salah that kind of grabbed him, and it was an amazing moment for the team that's gone through a lot of amazing moments. But I think, you know, just seeing that, he has to get my underappreciated performer of the weekend, and you know, it was an amazing moment from an obviously an amazing human being.
Yeah, and you make a good point, Rob. It's a great choice as underappreciated because we know him as a goalkeeper. Was it last week against Southampton? He come up with six, seven big saves in the game that make sure they get the job done. I think it was a 2-0 win on that day. But you make a really good point, Rob, about sometimes I think general public fans, you know, football followers, having a window behind what actually is football, because we're all human beings. We all have issues. We all have problems at home that we pull on our strip. We get in our team and we do our thing. And sometimes there's lots of other things going on behind the scenes that people don't know about that you try and mask from the general public. And you're right. It was not only the goal and the timing and the moment and the importance, but also that just a bit of realisation that we're all human beings. You know, Jesse Lingard is a great example of was getting criticism on social media. And then people realised he'd had some issues in his life, his mother, his, I think, brother and sister, some siblings. And it was one of those moments where I think I'll always remember where I was when Alisson scored that goal. Let's hope that for Liverpool's point of view on a football front, Rob, it means that it's the platform to step into top four, because that's what this is all about in terms of the football piece. It's about Liverpool now having a chance to make it into that top four. And they play Crystal Palace, they play Burnley away, Crystal Palace at home, their last two games. And it's interesting because I know on this, I think we slightly differ in terms of where we think or how we think that might go and where we think that they may end up.
Yeah, I mean, the longer it goes and the results for Liverpool and defeats of teams like Chelsea and maybe Leicester, it's become very possible now. And I think if they do win those two games, it does and it will come down to goal difference with Leicester and Chelsea. A big game for them, of course, on Tuesday, which we'll talk about. I just, you know, apart from that moment, I'm sat in my chair thinking, I didn't expect them not to win this game against West Brom, Rob. I expect it to be in the next two. But I'm sat there thinking, this is why I think Liverpool will fall a little short. Two reasons. The centre-backs are young, inexperienced centre-backs that again, looked okay in certain moments, but in key moments, you know, the striker for West Brom, Robson Kanu, got in behind three times in on the goal. Yeah. And, of course, scored the first opportunity really early on. And then the ability to create clear-cut opportunities given teams that sit back and defend deep. And I thought we're looking at 1-1. I'm thinking, this is This is what I feared about Liverpool. Now they get that, and the momentum, as you kind of talked earlier, that might really help them. But they still got to go to Burnley, Rob, where their fans are going to be there, and we know what their strikers they've got and how strong they can be defensively. Crystal Palace are playing with a little bit more abandon at the moment, which, I mean, we really enjoyed the game today. So I still think they're for sure. I'm not going to change now with a couple of games left. Those two reasons I still think are valid, Rob. Got away with it today. Goalkeeper, first time ever in the Premier League, so they got away with it. Now, whether they can the next two games, we'll have to wait and see.
Yeah, as you know, with me, it's all the emotion, and I almost feel like it can galvanise. I think moments like that, I don't think the manager has to say anything. Not sure Alisson Becker has to say anything, the keeper. I think players around might take something from it and want to do it kind of for him and what he's been through and what he's done. It was really interesting, and we did a little breakdown on the, you know, the back line, and it was a day when Trent Alexander in particular thought I had a good game going forward, and he defended, but looking back in good nick and back to some of his best. But it was really interesting with the two centre halves, Rob, and I was thinking about how we could try and explain this, because we know in all the different units, in defending units and midfield and forward, these kind of routines that you go through that get people in the right places. Now, as Reece Williams is going towards the ball, there should be a knock-on effect that Nat Phillips evens up. The others used to say, almost think there's a piece of rope between all the defenders.
And if one moves,
it's going to bring him in with me. And if he comes back, it takes me out. Well, you'll certainly see on anyone looks back on that West Brom first goal, as Reece Williams goes in, Nat Phillips, if anything, goes the wrong way. Instead of closing that gap because the rope's pulling him, it goes the other way. Now, those things come with time, with rigour on the training ground and with understanding. And sometimes if you've got a vocal, experienced man next to you, as he's going, he's saying, come in and go out, and he's talking to you. When you've got two young 20-ish-old centre-backs who haven't been through that rig, who probably haven't had so many reps and routines, that's why we're seeing what we're seeing. Hal Robson-Carnot, who got in three times today, scored once.
Yep.
Trent came across once. Keeper made a good save once on pretty much three straight balls over the top. I can guarantee you there's 25 of those balls coming against Burnley, and it's probably the reason why I think Fabinho might end up playing there, maybe with Nat Phillips, just to deal with what Burnley are going to start him.
Yeah, I remember they went to Anfield and beat Liverpool earlier this season. So it's a difficult game for them. But I that's the toss up, isn't it? The Fabinho went back there. It was felt he was missed in midfield. He's gone back into midfield, and you know there's five injured centre backs at Liverpool Football Club. That's pretty incredible. Yeah. Five, you know, more experienced defenders.
The two they buy for replacements, Ben Davies and Nose and Kabak, they gone down.
Yeah, both got injured as well.
It's amazing.
But they got the job done, mate.
Yeah,
at this point, who cares?
They got the job done. In, they've got two more to go, and can Jurgen Klopp build it up again? Just got to say, Rob, just before we move on, I've got to tip my hat to West Bromwich Albion, Big Sam, and the integrity of the Premier League and what they put up and how they showed and how they played. And this league, Pep talked about it being the toughest league. He's been in Spain, he's been in Germany, and you just never know. Nothing's a given. You have to earn everything that you did. And it's in Liverpool, goalkeeping first, header gets them a point. But I thought West Brom played well, looked dangerous, were committed. And we don't know how many more times we're going to see Big Sam on the big frame, pitting his wits against the big six teams. But I thought his team played really well today, really committed in what was a fascinating game.
Yeah, I think the West Brom fans, if you're a relegated side and your fans have not been able to watch you all season, must be incredibly frustrating, but they would love to see that. Love to see the heart that they played with, the passion that they played with. And you're right. And that's English football. And that's, you know, we saw it in Sheffield United, Everton, the last game. Teams that are down, you know, nothing really but pride to play for. And I thought West Brom, to a man, worked their socks off and made it so difficult for Liverpool to find a way through. And of course, the goalkeeper that wasn't picked up at that set piece, of course, saw the winner. But I think there's a good mention there of West Brom. And we don't always talk about some of the smaller sides, you know, when it's kind of dominated by the big clubs. There's a lot of them now in English football. But you're right. And it's a shame for West Brom. It's a brilliant football club. It's an old historic football club. a real loyal fan base, and they will love the way that this team played. Just before we move on, again, Matias Pereira got the assist for their goal, Rob.
Yeah.
I always enjoy watching him play. Such graceful ability with that left foot. Do you think it's a definite we're going to see him in the Premier League next season?
I would be surprised if he's in the Championship, Rob. I would just be surprised, whether it's English clubs or clubs from abroad. I mean, you know, the Premier League goes all around the world. You've seen his 10 Premier League goals now. I think Sada Berahino and Romelu Lukaku were the last West Brom players to hit double figures in the Premier League. Right. So he's in good company. Yeah. I think that will go around. There might be Italian clubs. There might be Spanish clubs. But I certainly think there'll be one or two English clubs, Premier League clubs. He could fit, and I know you think the step up, but I'm thinking he could walk into a Southampton, a Brighton, some of those middle teams. He could do well at Newcastle. But, you know, the opportunity where you see an Everton today or Everton, a team like that, he could go in there and be a star, Rob, because he's got it all, as you say, he can play. So, good performance by West Brom, obviously defeating and heading down, but as ever, give a good account of themselves and the Premier League. Let's move it on to my friend, to really what some would say was the biggest game of this weekend. It was the FA Cup final. It was probably more fancied Chelsea against less fancied Leicester, but as ever, forget the odds and forget who fancies who in those games. It's about who gets the job done. And Leicester City, Brendan Rodgers, have won themselves an FA Cup, my friend.
Yeah, and I don't know about you, but you know, I didn't mind who won the game, but I did enjoy the scenes afterwards and the smiles and celebrations and fans in a stadium at Wembley for a cup final, absolutely loving it. I would probably add that maybe just a little bit Leicester wanted it, a tiny bit more than Chelsea, given the success that they have. Of course, every trophy is important to Chelsea, and they've won tons of them over the last, I guess, decade now. But Leicester really enjoyed it, Rob, and a great performance. We saw a wonderful goal from Yuri Tielemans, a midfield player that I think everybody appreciates is a real talent. He can do a little bit of everything with the way that he plays. A wonderful strike into the top corner. I will just follow on, Rob, with the goal that what I just picked out of that. And this was we're into the second half now, Rob, and Chelsea are pushing. And it's been a bit of an Achilles heel for Chelsea, where they haven't really looked like scoring too many goals. And N'Golo Kante has the ability, and to be fair, he's done it pretty well, where he's got forward and he's made things happen. You know, we've talked about him many times.
Yeah.
Just defensively, he's a great player, but also getting forward. And we've seen a lot of that over the last couple of years. And on the goal, it was Rich James tried to find N'Golo Kante, that, and people who haven't seen it or didn't realise, please have another look at it, because the run from N'Golo Kante is not a great run as a midfield player, because he's run ahead of the ball, and any mistake is made or interception or whatever, he's out of the game defensively. And that's what happened. It was kind of blocked with the hand, the foot and the arm. I think it was Ayoze Perez. Not a handball. The arm's close enough to his body and it came off his thigh first, which also gives you a little bit of a chance on that one. But N'Golo Kante, who's trying to receive the ball, is out of it. And then Jorginho's on his own. There's two midfield players. Tielemans gets a ball and sticks in the top corner. Now, I know it's only little details, and maybe you can't always plan for every scenario. If Kante was in his normal position alongside Jorginho, that goal probably doesn't happen. But that's the only thing I would pick out from a tactical side of things, where I remember Rob as a midfield player, I'm sure you do, that the thought was don't run forward too early.
Yeah.
If something goes wrong with a player on the ball or the pass, then you're out of the game, because you can't get back and affect something that might happen immediately. I just thought it was one of those. But take nothing away from Leicester and the strike from Yuri Tielemans. There's still a lot of work to be done from there. It's a beautiful strike into the top corner. But it was a great game, mate. It was great to see fans at Wembley celebrating a special day for the Foxes.
Yeah, 20,000 people in there, and a bit of atmosphere. Obviously, two rival fans, players up for it. You know, the expectancy of a cup is still the same. You know, the FA Cup has been a magic competition. We've grown up, we've seen it. You know, where you wake up in the morning, put it on at 9 a.m. and watch it through till the 3 p.m. kickoff. And I felt it grabbed a bit of nostalgia back with the fans being in there. I agree with you tactically. I think I'd always want N'Golo Kanté making runs forward with the ball behind
in front of him.
Yeah, in front of him, so that if he does fall down, because you're right, I guarantee you, and even if N'Golo Kanté was where Jorginho was and Jorginho had made the run, I guarantee you he would have got close or got something next to Tielemans that Jorginho doesn't, because Jorginho's a different type. He's going to sit off, he's going to let you play. N'Golo Kanté is a master at getting a foot in, at blocking, at closing you down, at making it difficult. So it's one of those things, and there were some big calls with the managers, Rob. I thought, you know, Aspilicueta and Reece James played in what we'd say probably different positions. Aspilicueta was the right-sided wing-back. Reece James was the right-sided centre-back. Now, whether that was a worry about the pace of particularly Vardy or Iheanacho going in behind, I don't know. But it was a Thomas Tuchel one. Ben Chilwell didn't start. Alonso started on the left-hand side. Again, another call for the manager. Wouldn't say he gets them right and wrong, but there were calls that he made and Chelsea didn't win the match. Interesting call, I thought, from Brendan Rodgers, who started a Jose Perez ahead of what I thought, James Maddison. And I'm thinking, big pitch like Wembley, get the ball into the Maddisons of the world. He can feed the front two, but that wasn't how it went. He came on in the second half. And I have to say, whatever you know the tactics were, whatever the selections were, Brendan got it right. And because of that, Robbie Musto, my underappreciated performance of the week goes to Brendan Rodgers. Not least because Brendan's always seen as Brendan the bridesmaid. He's always second best. He doesn't quite win things. He didn't win the title with Liverpool. People don't really recognise it when he was at Celtic and won league and cups there. That, well, it's only in Scottish football. So there's always been a little bit of a feel that in English football, he hasn't really delivered the goods. Well, he did against a fancy Chelsea team that were in good nick, that were well-managed on a big stage with fans in the stadium when the pressure was on. His team delivered for him and they came good and needed a couple of Kasper Schmeichel saves later on to make sure. But I thought it was a big day for him. Well, as you say, representing that football club in the way that he did, representing the owner group that we know the horrific accident that happened to the owner and his sons taking it on and seeing those scenes of the players, the ownership group, the fans, Rob, and it just took me back to 2-3 weeks ago, European Super Leagues, and how the teams like Leicester would never win titles, will probably never win cups, will never be that team who can grow and possibly become a big six team. And he stood for all those things, and for that reason, Brendan Rodgers had to be my underappreciated performer of the week for getting the job done and kind of flying the flag for not always big six teams have to win everything. Mm.
Yeah, and I think also, I'm not sure whether he is a little bit underappreciated, but in general, as a manager, I think he is appreciated, certainly in Leicester City, certainly at Glasgow Celtic, and the work that he's done in other clubs. But you're right, you know, I don't know whether he's seen as a legit elite manager, but he should be. He should be for what he's done now. It's multiple clubs. It's a good shout, Brendan Rodgers. And I enjoy watching him with his, not with his guard down, but with his media face off. And just going mad and celebrating and big old smile because he does play stuff down, doesn't he? But I think it was one moment where he's like, let himself go. I loved it when they're tossing him up in the air, all the players are throwing him up in the air. And you're right, he made some big calls. I just wonder if Maddison, whether there's something, I know he's had some injury issues. We know he made that mistake going out when he should have gone out. But that was a big call. Just back on the Chelsea one, Rob, on Thomas Tuchel's calls. See, Aspilicueta, I get that, and I do kind of get the Reece James thing, but it is a negative move. Mm. It's a backward move. It's a back foot move. It's a move that would mean going forward, you're not as good. Aspilicueta going forward is not as good as Reece James or not as good as Callum Hudson-Odoi that could have played that position. Now, I granted that Alonso is a little bit more attack-minded potentially or scoring-minded than Ben Chilwell, but I understand why he did it, but ultimately, it's going to reduce their effectiveness going forward, Rob. Yeah. And also, Hakim Ziyech. You like Ziyech?
Mm.
I'm not seeing it. So when you start Ziyech, that keeps Christian Pulisic on the bench. It keeps Kai Havertz out of the starting lineup. And Mason Mount, no problem. And I like Werner as well, even though he's maybe not scored the goals that you expected. So a couple of calls there that didn't work out for him. And the frustration will be there. The expectation would have been there that they were going to win this cup against Leicester City. We talked about it. They were favourites going into the game. So interesting match. It leaves Chelsea's season somewhat on the edge. Absolutely on the edge, Rob, as these two teams meet at Stamford Bridge on Tuesday, 3:15 Eastern Time on NBCSN. Mm. It's time for the Robbie Earl odds.
So, our friend Points Bet Sportsbook have given us the odds for what is a huge game now, with Champions League repercussions at stake. And the odds go as Chelsea to win -143. The draw is at +260. And the Leicester win is at +400. Wow. So our friends at Points Book, I think, believe that Leicester are going to be out on what we were used to call the razzle, a light ale or two, and that maybe they won't be in the right fettle to face a game against Chelsea at Stamford Bridge. I have to say, I totally disagree with that. I just think that Brendan Rodgers isn't that manager. I think they'll enjoy a night. I think it's good to enjoy a night. I think they'll get together. And I think they'll collectively say, come on, let's go and turn these over again. Let's guarantee ourselves top four spot. We deserve it.
Yeah, well, I mean, the club will desperately want it. Winning the FA Cup does not qualify them for next season's Champions League. It does qualify them for the Europa League. So they've got everything to play for. But I don't know whether I'm with you, mate. I see the +400 is kind of high. I've got to say that. But, I mean, if you're Thomas Tuchel and you're Chelsea and what's happened to you at Wembley Stadium and now you've got a chance to you're in jeopardy of dropping out of the top four, I do think they are favourites. I'm not sure as strong a favourite as PointsBet Sportsbook is saying with their odds.
-143.
I think that is where I'd be putting my couple of dollars on. Yeah, with Chelsea. But it's such a critical game. Now, can Leicester, you know, shake off that little celebrations and stuff and go again away at Stamford Bridge, where there are going to be fans, of course, Robbie, on Tuesday?
Yeah, that makes a difference,
I mean, we got a cracking end to the season.
Huge game. This is a huge game. Right. I've got to be honest, my well-earned $2 is looking at +400 with Leicester. I'm with Brendan. I just, you know, it's interesting, Rob, and obviously we'll maybe get into a bit more discussion after on our next podcast, which comes up on Wednesday after these games. But I'm just a little bit interested in the Thomas Tuchel kind of what came out after the Arsenal defeat that I thought was just a little strange, and like he saw something in training and he didn't like the change he made, and that all came out okay. Then the FA Cup, where he didn't particularly play that well, made a couple of changes in the end, didn't work, and got beat in a competition that I think they would have been favourites and expect to win. So it's now a bit of pressure on them to against this game. And I'm just kind of interested, like, what Tuchel we see now? We've seen things are going well. We you know, this Premier League, Rob, this English football is different. It's absolutely, just when you think you've got a hold on it and I'm in a good spot, it bites you on the backside. And he's just had a little, maybe not a bite, he's had a suck on the backside, and he better be ready.
Yeah, I mean, he lost at home to Arsenal, and he lost a cup final that would be expected to win. Yeah. You're absolutely right. You could never think that you've cracked it. And to be fair, we're not saying that he thought that, but he realizes right now it's been a few occasions, and he's like, you know what, it's on me. Made too many changes, or I've learned some lessons there, and he would have done. But you're right. Two losses, back-to-back losses. Massive games going forward. Now we see what he's made of. Mm. Now we see what he's made of with his selections, his motivation. We know that he kind of wears his heart on his sleeve, and he tells it as it is.
Yeah.
How are the players going to come out on Tuesday? A little nervous about their situation, or fired up, on the front foot, aggressive to win the game? It's going to be fascinating because, you know, we know they got the Champions League final later in the month, of course, the 29th of May, isn't it? But this is super important for Chelsea to finish in the top four, and it should be a cracking game on Tuesday.
With Spring Black Friday deals at the Home Depot, you can give your lawn or garden beds a pop of color and protection. Right now, get a special buy on Scott's Earth Grow Mulch, 5 bags for just $10. Help your soil retain moisture longer with color that lasts up to 12 months. shop Spring Black Friday deals for a special buy on Scott's Earth Grow Mulch 5 bags for just $10 at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. Color selection varies by store. Limit 60 bags per customer while supplies last.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Life is a highway. And on it, there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy. So go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Yeah, looking forward to that one. Yep. Let's go back to the weekend's games. A few interesting results came up and a few talking points. Tottenham 2, Wolves 0. Ryan Mason with, I think, quite a difficult task. As I was doing a little bit of background work on this game, Rob, I'm thinking he's got to find a way to motivate this group. I mean, Champions League football's gone. Europa League or even Europa Conference, Rob, which is like a third-tier European competition. I'm not sure Spurs would be that sort of desperate to get into that competition, which I think if you finish maybe sixth or seventh. But the Spurs team with you know, the Gareth Bale, the Heung-Min Son, the Harry Kane, the Dele Alli up front, you know, looks in on paper's great, but just motivating this group I thought was interesting. They got the job done. They won 2-0. It's too late for them, isn't it, really, with European football? I mean, Europa League now we're talking.
Yeah, and I wouldn't guarantee them that. They've got Wednesday, Aston Villa at home, who are a team that never stop. They're a good side, and Jack Grealish is getting closer to fitness, and Ollie Watkins, et cetera, et cetera. And then they've got Leicester away. That's difficult. So I don't even know. I mean, they might find themselves in the Europa Conference. I'm not even sure that format of that tournament has been finalised yet. So that's not good. Funny team, Spurs. You know, last time out, they get well beaten by Leeds United, Rob. And there was a moment today I looked at the game and I'm looking at Dele getting involved and Bale and Son and Kane. I think Winks was on at this point. And I thought Reguilon was better at left back. And Tanganga, I actually prefer at right back as well. I think he should be the number one choice in that position. It's not a bad team, Rob, Spurs, you know. And we know that Kane's future is a little bit up in the air. And same with Bale and maybe Dele as well. But if a new manager came in there that excited this group, there's some good players there with good attacking flair and a little bit of mix to them. Defensively, of course, centre-back, we know that that's an area that they really, really need help. But I don't know. I mean, I want to say I like Spurs with all the star players out there and what they look like in certain games. But when you watch last Saturday at Leeds, you're like, oh, you know. And it's just it's a bit of a mess right now, mate. I think that's what I'm saying. I kind of like some of the bits, but it's a bit of a mess with the manager and certain players and no fans in that stadium and the revenue's being lost at the moment. It needs a little bit of a shake-up, a reset, a coming together in the summer. New manager as soon as possible, please. Daniel Levy, I think the Spurs fans will be saying, and they've got to try and go again and regroup and have a great pre-season and come back on the front foot. But this season's been a bit of a nightmare. The whole Mourinho thing did not work. It was always a risky move at the start with him. Now they've got to pick up the pieces, which is never easy after a Jose kind of situation.
It's interesting because as you're saying that, and I was watching them today, and I'm thinking, kind of, where are they from? The Poch team, that at least we knew what we were getting, and there were good players then, Rob, and we're saying, can they go the next level? To kind of going around the circle to now where we're questioning. Not sure there's been that much progress, Rob, and as you say, you know, Pochettino was a club builder. He brought that club together and took it to Champions League and got them to the Champions League final and got more respect. Somebody's going to have to do almost that job again with this group of players. We keep saying it's got a lot of good players there, but for some reason, it's just not being knitted together. Let's talk about a team that had been going in good form, West Ham United. They travelled down to Brighton with hopes of them still maybe Champions League, or if not European football. Ended up drawing the game 1-1. Went one down, came back into the game. Ben Rama with his first goal for West Ham United. They pushed to try and obviously late on try and get that winner that they wanted. David Moyes after the game said obviously he's disappointed, but you know, pleased with his team, a one down late on, bit of character, all that kind of stuff. But of West Ham, I just got the sense watching Rob and you know, Declan Rice was back in the team. I know you'll have your view, but I just got the feeling like it just looked a little bit like some were running on empty towards the end of the game. It just felt like it might be starting to catch up with them. Many of the same players play many games. And I was thinking about this, I think it was this morning or something, when I was coming in, I was thinking, games every 3 or 4 days, we don't really realise what that can be taken out of you. And especially with the energetic players, the Antonios and the Jesse Lingards, didn't quite have that spring about them that we normally see.
Yeah, and that might be the reason what they didn't do or that I thought they might do, Rob. A little disappointing for me, West Ham. And I expect, I think I said before the game, that they could outpower Brighton a little bit. There's a real punch to their attack. And we know the way that Brighton play, and of course, David Moyes will know that as well. And it's very much build up from the back.
Yeah.
I just, you know how much I appreciate and stress the importance of turnovers and that pressing. And that's when goals are scored. And I just thought they missed that opportunity throughout the game to sustain attacks by this. So when it breaks down, stay in there, stay high, have a little press up, show a little bit of energy. You know, this buzzwords of counter-pressing, that's what it is really. When they get the ball, or when you have it and you give it to them, then win it back again. And I just was disappointed. They have an attack, or Brighton win the ball, and then they just dropped off and allowed Brighton to play around and manoeuvre the ball up into their final third. And it was annoying for West Ham. And it was taking time away from what they wanted of sustaining and adding the pressure and asking more questions. But again, you make a point there, and maybe they're linked, where they're kind of tired and it's easier to drop off and be a bit more patient with their football. I mean, it's difficult to be critical of West Ham because it's been a remarkable season and players have stepped up. The manager's done a brilliant job and he's cracked the whip throughout the season and never seems satisfied. And we're going to, you know, if we're around the top four, we're going to give it a go. And they have given it a go. I just thought a little bit more aggressive nature to their game, Rob, might have helped them against a Brighton team that sometimes gets a little bogged down and playing out and make mistakes and concede goals. But we didn't see it. We did get the goal from Saïd Benrahma, another good signing, 88th minute. Really nice finish into the far corner to get themselves a point. But they didn't really dominate the game. I think that's what I'm saying. Dominate the game in any way against a team that's fourth bottom in the league table. That was my only disappointment. But again, a fashionable manager in some ways in Graham Potter against the unfashionable in some ways in David Moyes. Enjoyed the game, just expect a little more out of West Ham United.
I thought there was a very, very David Moyes comment when he was asked at the end of the game about Declan Rice. And he kind of, Declan was okay. And, you know, we get better as he gets fitter. And we were sitting there going, Declan Rice is a player. Look how good he is and still in good nick and come back. And it's just David Moyes, isn't it? I think that's the way he plays stuff down. But having Declan Rice back has got to be a bonus, not only for West Ham, certainly for England. And they're a better team with him. We'll have to see if they can push on it and maybe make one of those Europa places their own. Because it'd be nice, I think it'd be nice recognition for the work and the turnaround that David Moyes and his staff have done with a team that was struggling to stay in the league just a season ago. Let's move on. One more game, mate. Newcastle 3, Manchester City 4. And a game that, again, I think we both thought, well, handbrake can come off and Newcastle, they're safe now. Man City have got the Champions League and maybe not the first 11 out there. There was a big contingent of the main players as substitutes. So another fascinating game at St. James's Park, mate. Newcastle 3, Manchester City 4. Ferran Torres hat-trick. Kind of bears us thinking, and we've said it before, I think we were doing some highlights over the last couple of weeks and we saw goals and we said, it's Ferran Torres, he keeps chipping in with his goals. And I think that might be something like 9 or so in the season and 14 in all competitions. And you're kind of thinking, could he be a missing part for them? With Aguero going and the way they play, is there a role for him going forward?
There's definitely a role for him, Rob. He played a lot in the group stages, I believe. And again, there's so many games that I'm not sure I've got it all right. But he played a lot in the group stages of the Champions League and got goals.
Yeah.
Or in the League Cup or something.
Champions League, he scored goals early on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, he hasn't got the kind of physical attributes of an Aguero or let's compare him more with Gabriel Jesus, Rob. He's not as quick or he's not as powerful. But he's got a scorer's brain. He's got a scorer's brain, and we've seen it before. And again, he's not quick. He's not super skillful. He's not powerful. He's not tall. But he gets himself in the right spot many times. And his first goal, the little flick over the top, the volley, and the third goal that comes off the, was it the save or the post? Where he
volleys into Jack's well and one touch
finish. I mean, he's again, it's hard to think that he will be the starting number nine next season, and he's the answer to their striking worries a little bit in some ways if they want to find a striker. But what a good player to have around the club. I mean, he's still a super young player, can play wide, can play as a striker. But I think of all the players that play in that nine position, other than Gabriel Jesus, he's more like a striker in the way that he moves and the way that he senses when to get around the goal when the ball is close by. So impressed with him throughout. Again, he isn't going to be in their starting lineup for the Champions League final, even though he scored three goals. But I'm just impressed with this guy. And, you know, when you get the City changes, there are often some strange results, and it's not easy to be, I guess, the others in the City squad that play when the biggest games aren't there. But Ferran Torres made a great case that he's got a big future at the club.
Yeah, 21 years of age, four Champions League goals already. And it might just be, you know, as you're looking towards what I think we'll kind of guesstimate will be the first 11, or certainly the shape of the first 11. You know, with Sterling not making that, with Jesus and Aguero, Ferran Torres might be one of those subs who might have something to play on in that game. Another thing happened on the day. So we had a guard of honour for Man City as they ran out against Newcastle. We had a Premier League first start for a 35-year-old goalkeeper called Scott Carson. Just a little mention to him, Rob, because that's some kind of mentality you have to be the third goalkeeper in a team and a squad like Manchester City, which means you're rarely going to play. You train every day. You go through all the rigour and routine and the wet and the mud and the rain that happens, and you go through all that with no prize at the end of a weekend. It must have been a special day for Scott Carson. He conceded three goals, but he was on the winning side. And you know, 35 years of age, you kind of, in a way, got to take your hat off to him, haven't you?
To him and Pep Guardiola for appreciating what you've just said. All those days, cold winters, the long winters in Manchester, where he's probably kicking balls into the other goalkeepers and warming them up. And, you know, and for the manager to say, you know what? Yeah, you have a game. You've deserved it. You helped our cause throughout. I thought it was a nice gesture. I thought it was miles away from the first goal.
I'm playing for 10 years. Give him a break.
10 years, I know. But no, good pro. Been around forever. Mm. And I bet he loved it. You're right. He got on the winning side. And it's nice to see, you know, something like that that gets appreciated for some of the work that goes on behind the scenes that people don't really recognise. And yeah. Very, very good to see.
Yeah, I think the interesting thing, Rob, just we move on before the other games, that Pep actually said he plays a bigger role in our dressing room than many of you people would think.
Right.
So there's something about him that Pep likes. He's either one of them who shakes his fist, or maybe a bit of the, you know, the British bulldog, or there's something about him that's more than just the goalkeeper. And as we both know, having spent our lives in dressing rooms, you need a couple of those kind of good people around as well. And he's obviously that kind of guy. Let's just round it up, mate, with some of the outstanding
other games.
Leeds United ran all over Burnley, my friend. And by the way, I'm going to hopefully on Championships do an underappreciated team of the season. And there's a certain Jack Harrison, Mr. Musto. I think he's 9 goals, 7 assists now as a wide player who gets no mentions for England, but is playing at a really high level, is on loan from Manchester City. It's sneaky good, my friend. He's a sneaky good for wide player.
Yeah, he is. And in this team, with that manager and the way that they play, you know, players like that have an opportunity to put up some good numbers. Rafinha on the other side. Helder Costa before. Patrick Bamford. I'm not sure Patrick Bamford is going to score a ton of goals at many other Premier League teams. It's just, you know, Click scores his goal. Yeah. Rodrigo comes on, looks $1 million. The way that they play,
Dallas scored about 7 or 8 goals only from midfield. Stuart Dallas.
I think it's at least eight.
Goals.
I mean, it's a good shout, and it's the way that they play. Forever enjoy watching Leeds United. And Leeds United, even though they're new into the Premier League, they're a huge club compared to Burnley. And Leeds United, even in the lower leagues in the Championship, have spent more money than Burnley have spent. So it's not... The different sizes of football club and the money that's going to go into strengthening the team again. Of course, Leeds will try and do that. And Burnley, I feel maybe now will try and do that. Robin probably need to do that going forward, because it's a very aging squad, and new owners there probably should invest a little bit in the squad now. But no, good performance from Leeds United. We kind of enjoy it. We expect the goals to come. Didn't disappoint. 4-0 to Leeds United. There are other games, Rob, that we can talk. I think the Everton one is the last game that we've just finished in the studio with. Yeah. Everton 0, Sheffield United 1. Disappointing for Everton. Great, of course, for Daniel Jevonson, the 17-year-old striker for Sheffield United. Yeah. His senior debut, so a start for him, his first start. Gets the winning goal after 8 minutes. And afterwards, on our show after the long day today, you know, we summed up a little bit, Rob, and I thought carefully about what I wanted to say about Everton, and it was mostly disappointment. Mm. Apart from the first seven games where they'd won,
competition.
And the excitement was building. Mm. I've got to say, for having good parts, good goalkeeper, England national team goalkeeper, Godfrey and Holgate and Yerry Mina, good young, some cases, defenders. You've got Alan, who's been injured for a little bit, or had been, a really good experienced holding midfield player. You've got James Rodriguez, his technical ability. You've got Richarlison, you've got Dominic Calvert-Lewin, they've got a good number of goals. They've never looked a good team. They've never looked a grooved, a dominant, a good footballing team that I expected. And it will go down, of course, to some of the players. Absolutely goes down to Carlo Ancelotti that hasn't made more of the sum of the parts. You know, when you say that sometimes, you know, a team is better than some of its parts, that has happened at Everton. Mm-hmm. And it's like the target was European football. They're not going to make it. They're not going to make European football right now. I've got difficult games the last couple of games. And I just felt it was a time to express my disappointment.
Yeah.
And I know that Everton fans are forever disappointed, maybe, or that they don't meet the expectations of what they have of their club. Mm. But they should have done better. They should have done better. And this team should look more grooved. It should look like a dominant side, Everton, now, with some of the players that they've got, and you kind of know what you're going to get. Well, you don't. And the home form of the Goodison Park has been unacceptable, really, for the players they've got.
Absolutely. I think it's 9 defeats out of 18, so 50% of the games at home they've lost.
2 months,
and I know every set of fans love their club. Nobody loves their club more than Everton fans, Rob. Yeah. Nobody. We know Everton fans here in the US. We used to go to the bar in Manhattan. It's the home of the supporters club. Everton fans back in the UK. And you're right, really, because it's about standards and setting things. And at the start of the season, you know, we have our silly after 4 or 5 games. Oh, who can win the title? And, you know, can Everton stay in there? And of course, we're doing a bit tongue-in-cheek. But we're sort of saying, and what's the most disappointing thing for me, Rob, is I thought Carlo Ancelotti is going to go in there and raise the standard.
Mm.
And at first, he said after a while, we're not Champions League. We're top six. And then it's even now, top six might be a struggle for them. And they played today, Rob, a team that have conceded so many goals, have lost 28 games, have scored 18 goals, and they were struggling to get a draw. Yep. Struggling to get a draw. And there's so many good things about this football club in terms of the ownership, in terms of the setup, Marcel Brandt and the network, in terms of an experienced manager who handles big players, can attract big players. It seems like there's money there. In 3, 4, 5 years, I think it's 2025, it's thing, they're going to have one of the best stadiums in the country. Yeah. Yeah. Everything's set up, Rob, to grow, apart from on the pitch. The most important bit. The on the pitch has still got to be play catch-up. And until that happens, and until today was nothing about ability, because they got more ability. You've talked about the team. You've got Digne, who's an international left-back goalkeeper. You've got centre-backs Keane and Godfrey and Allen, and James Rodriguez is a top echelon, and Dominic Calvert-Lewin, who's got goals, and Richarlison can be matched. So talent-wise, matching up to Sheffield United is not a problem. But when your attitude, when your focus, when your desire on a day, I wrote my first note on my research for this game was, Everton have to want this game more than Sheffield United. That was my first thing. Forget tactics and all the rest.
And that shouldn't be difficult, given Sheffield United are relegated.
Their ambition of what they could do. And so listen, one, I'm sure there's a podcast on their own for Everton because it's such a big club. It's so wannabe, and at the moment, you just can't get it right. But like you, I'm disappointed for the Everton fans more than anything. I'm disappointed in the club. I'm not an Everton fan. I watch the games. I like going there. I like the way they play. But I'm disappointed for the Everton fans because just when I think they felt we're taking a step, it kind of looks like, well, are they really?
And again, just final comment from me on this, Rob, and with Everton is that, again, I understand that Everton fans realise that they aren't going to go to being a great team straight away. Yeah. And top four was never, but you always want to see, wow, we're getting better.
Yeah.
And you know what? We finished sixth or whatever, but I can see what we're trying to do. He had a great season. He was as good as I thought he was going to be. He got great numbers. He was good defensively. He's come on as a player in this position. I like the way that we're playing the system. I like the philosophy. I just don't think there's enough of that. There's not enough of warm, fuzzy feeling that your club is heading in the right direction. Again, Everton fans, if we're being overcritical, then, you know, maybe we are. But I just think they want to see a direction and a sign of encouragement that, wow, you're right, Rob. The pieces that they've got in place, you know, you've got Big Dunk as number two to remind the man, you know, to add his little bit of drive and knowledge to the whole thing. It seems like a really nice mix. So I'm disappointed we're not seeing a better footballing team given those pieces. And, you know, it's a big summer. I'm sure they're trying to invest pre-season, a bit more time. They'll go again, but yeah, I just was so disappointed in Everton's result today.
Yep, as was I. Listen, just before we go, I just want a couple of mentions. I'm going to go down the centre forward route. Crystal Palace 3, Aston Villa 2. The Belgian beat is back. Christian Benteke scoring goals. Lucky the poor Robin Musto. His contract running out.
Is that why?
Christian Benteke. Southampton 3, Fulham 1. I've got to mention Nathan Teller, who came on for Danny Ings, scored a goal after a couple of minutes, his first ever Premier League goal. He had an assist for Theo Walcott in the winning goals, a young player. And Fabio Carvalho was the standout little 18-year-old academy player, made his debut, scored a goal, showed some more experience. Fulham players a little bit
disappointed. Why is he not playing, Rob? Why have you not seen him?
Yeah, you know, a little bit of calmness, lifts the ball over the goalkeeper. I sense there's some serious talking to be done at Fulham with Scotty Parker, the ownership group, and the group of players who stays, who goes. But yeah, it's a big summer for a number of clubs, whether you're in the Premier League or not, mate.
Just one more comment for me, Rob, about those teams. Yeah. And I want to go back to Crystal Palace. And we are thinking that Roy Hodgson may be having his last season at the football club. But what he's done hasn't gone unnoticed with me and you as well.
Yeah.
It's often 4-4-2. It's often a cautious shape and a cautious posture in terms of their block.
Yeah.
And when they had to fight for points a little bit, then that's what we saw. Mm. They're safe now. And I got to say, it is a different Palace. And Abrachi Eze, this new signing they brought in, probably as a wide player, has looked so good as a number eight. So in midfield three, with the ability to get forward and attack and box the box a little bit at times. His passing range, his shooting, assisting has made this team look so different. Townsend, Benteke up front, Wilf Zaha doing his thing again, got another goal, scored a goal today, big deflection, but he got a goal. And I just liked Palace. It's not very often where I've enjoyed a Palace game because you kind of know what you're getting and you understand it because of, given the situation, they've got to get the points required to stay in the league. But I enjoyed a little bit of a freer Crystal Palace. And you know, weeks and months, we'll, of course, revisit Palace and see how it's going with a different manager. Yeah. Does he continue with certain players' contracts? Christian Benteke looks so different right now. I just thought it was, you know, I just wanted to mention how this looks under Roy Hodgson. And I wonder if he had another year, whether we'd see a bit more of this. Maybe we wouldn't, Rob. And maybe there is going to be a change. I just think they've got to be super careful of who Palace go for as their next manager with these players' contracts, many of them coming up.
Christian Benteke and Roy Hodgson, maybe both contracts are up, both starting to do things different. Maybe there's something for that, my friend. Yeah. Listen, we've got to wrap it up on a weekend of firsts, my friend. Leicester City won the FA Cup for the first time, and a Premier League goalkeeper scored a header for the first time in the league's history. We'll be back on Wednesday, 19th of May. We'll look back at match week 37. So that's games Tuesday and on Wednesday. And on Tuesday, the big one is Chelsea fates Leicester in what's being described as a Champions League playoff game. But for now, I'm Earl. He's Musto, together with the two Robbies. Thanks for watching and listening. Be safe, be healthy. We'll see you next time. It's a good night from me.
And it's good night from him. Good night.
Doers, mowing season is here. With Spring Black Friday savings at the Home Depot. Right now, you can get gas-like power with the Ryobi 40-volt push mower for just $329. With a runtime of nearly an hour, it's the perfect mower to tackle your half-acre lawn without a trip to the gas station. Just push and mow. Your grass won't wait, so buy it online and pick it up in-store to get out there sooner. Get gas-like power this spring with the Ryobi 40-volt push mower just $329 during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.